This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day, isn't it? The perfect day to be in the house of God and worship together. It's my privilege to welcome you here this morning, especially if you are a visitor, if this is your first time to worship in this congregation. We're so glad that you're here, and we hope that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you at the passing of the peace and after the service. All of us are invited to sign in on the registration pads, and hopefully they're making their way down the row and back again. And we would encourage you, if you're visiting with us, to sign in and let us have, if you have an address or a mailing address, email, that will allow us to be in touch with you and let you know some of the ways we're trying to live out God's love in the world and begin to get to know you a little bit. As those pads make their way back to the center aisle, if those of you who are sitting on the center aisle would be willing to tear off the pages that have been written on and lay them on top, that would be a great help to our ushers at the end of the service. If you are visiting with us and are perhaps looking for a church home, we'd love for you to come into Reed Hall, which is just outside this doorway, after the service, and there will be some friends there to greet you and to answer any questions you might have. Normally, our college students are invited to gather for lunch after the service, but it's apparently spring break, so no lunch today, right, Nancy? But that will pick up again next week. One of the announcements in your bulletin I want to highlight, as we approach Easter, we are getting geared up for our Easter egg extravaganza, which is a wonderful opportunity for us as a congregation to meet others in the community. And Pastor Becky and the children's team are asking for donations to help have prizes available for the children. And the details are in the insert, but you can bring those prizes to the blue bin downstairs by the elevator between now and March 18th, and that would be great. Some exciting news to announce this morning. Not only did Duke beat Carolina last night, but also, our Thunder Chickens basketball teams have done really well this year. We have boys and girls Thunder Chickens basketball teams, and our boys won the league. So give a high five to those boys if you see them making a name for West End out there. One more word about our time in worship together this morning. We're doing something a little bit differently. At the end of the sermon, I'm going to invite our children to come forward for a few moments and meet Pastor Becky and me at the table. So for those of you who are parents or someone sitting with a young child, if you'll be ready to send them forward, they'll be coming around to this entrance and meet us at the table. And finally, there is someone we want to celebrate and bless this morning. I'm going to invite Kirk McNeil to come and join me up here for just a minute. He's looking surprised, which is the point. Kirk McNeil served on the staff of this church as one of our pastors a few years ago, and in more recent years has given birth to and nurtured our drama ministry and has shepherded that ministry and the renovation of the fourth story theater over this past year, and has placed in our hands this incredible opportunity for ministry in our community. And Kirk is about to celebrate a birthday and also about to leave our community. He's going to spend 6 months in Scotland and then settle back in North Carolina. And so on behalf of the drama ministry, I wanted to present to you this honor and to let you know that, let me just read it to you. West End United Methodist Church wishes to graciously and sincerely thank Reverend Kirk McNeil for his extraordinary efforts and passion in the creation of our drama ministry and Fourth Story Theater. In recognition and appreciation of his time, talent, and tenacity, we therefore honor him by naming the performance space within the Four Story Theater the Kirk McNeil Main Stage. Let us give thanks and praise to our most dedicated master festival. Deeply grateful for you and how you've set us up for ministry in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. With that joy continuing in our hearts, we turn now to this hour of worship as we are called to be people who remember and recount all that God has done for us, even to this day.
We gather together to remember, to tell, once again, the wonderful stories of our God. We tell the stories. We tell these stories over and over so that we do not forget. We tell these stories so that generation after generation can also come to know the love of God we serve.
Let's worship together.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins to God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And during flu season, it's totally fine to do an elbow bump or a fist bump. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. When your children ask you in time to come, what is the meaning of the decrees and the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your children, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord displayed before our eyes great and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land that he promised on oath to our ancestors. Then the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our lasting good, so as to keep us alive, as is now the case. If we diligently observe this entire commandment before the Lord our God, as he had commanded us, we will be in the right. The word of God for the people of God.
During these 6 weeks of Lent, we are looking at different practices that we do together as a people of God. We're examining together why it is that we're called to gather, to pray, to give, to serve. And this morning we're exploring the question, why remember? Why is it important for us as the people of God to recall and recount the things that God has done for us in the past? Now, to say that it's important for us to remember is not the same thing as it's important for us to know our history. Our history is important. I love history. Just last week, I got to sit in on a Sunday school class that one of our members, Steph Fulbright, was teaching. And she was talking about the medieval church and the construction of cathedrals and what was the theology behind that and what people understood about God at the time and how all of that was reflected in the architecture of the day. And for me, that was more than just remembering historical facts. That stirred in me a desire to worship God more fully when I'm in this space, to appreciate more fully why our architecture is as it is. So it had an effect on my daily life and faith. So when I say it's important to remember, it's more than just knowing facts about our history. And to say it's important to remember does not mean it's important to be nostalgic. There's a difference between remembering and being nostalgic. Looking back to the good old days and wishing things were like they had been. Oh, do you remember the days of Pastor so-and-so? It was so good back then. Well, we got this new pastor. Or do you remember when we used to sing these old hymns? I sure wish we could just go back to singing those old hymns and not this new way of doing things. Sometimes remembering our past can become nostalgia and can get us stuck in the past and unwilling to try new things and to worship God in new ways or live out the gospel in new ways. So the call to remember is not a call to be nostalgic. No, the call to remember is to find ways in our life together to name and recount and tell and proclaim the faithfulness of God with God's people from the beginning until now. Because remembering and recounting those things helps us trust God tomorrow. So when we look at what it means to remember, we get a lot of help from this story in the book of Deuteronomy. When we find ourselves in the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, we are at a pivotal moment in Israel's history. To remind us of where the story has been up to this point, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. And then God raised up Moses as a prophet in the book of Exodus. And through the power of God, Moses led the people of Israel out of slavery. They were liberated by the power of God, and God brought them to the promised land. But as they stood on the border of the promised land, ready to enter, they got scared. They sent spies into the land, and some of the spies came back and said, oh, the people who live there are too big, they're too strong, and if we go into the promised land, they will destroy us. And so God said, you're not ready then. You do not trust me to fulfill my promise. And so now you have to wait a whole generation. And so the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they could enter the promised land. They got hungry, they got thirsty, they got lost, but God provided them food, God gave them water. God gave them guidance. God shaped them into the people God wanted them to be by giving them the law and the teachings. And now, here we are in the book of Deuteronomy, back at the border of the Promised Land, and they're about to cross over. And Moses takes this opportunity to give them a farewell speech. He's not going to be entering the Promised Land with them. So the book of Deuteronomy is written as if it is Moses' last word to the people. And what Moses says to the people before they enter the Promised Land, especially in chapters 6, 7, and 8, is, remember, do not forget your God. You're about to enter the Promised Land. And when you get there, there are going to be people of all shapes and sizes. There are going to be all sorts of things that people worship that are not God. Hear, O Israel, says Moses, the Lord is our God. Yahweh is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Do not forget whose you are. You're about to enter the Promised Land, and you're going to plant crops, and they're going to be fruitful. You're going to build homes, and your houses and your families are going to multiply. Your herds are going to multiply. You're going to become prosperous and wealthy. And when you sit there in all your prosperity and wealth, do not forget who it is who brought you to this land. Never forget that you were slaves in Egypt and that God set you free, so that you may never treat anyone else like a slave or someone who is less than you. Remember, do not forget the Lord your God. And so the people of Israel found ways to remember. Moses had instructed them, take this word and put it on your forehead and put it on your doorposts. And many of our Jewish friends do just that. If you've ever seen a Hasidic or an Orthodox Jew, sometimes you'll see them wearing what's called a phylactery on their forehead. Especially at times of prayer, the men at times of prayer will put on these phylacteries. And inside the box is a little scroll that says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. A daily reminder of who God is and whose they are. Or maybe you've been to the home of a Jewish family and you've seen posted on the door what's called a mezuzah. It's a little object that has within it a scroll. And written on the scroll is, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. So that whether they're coming out of their homes or going into their homes, they touch the mezuzah and say, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. A daily reminder of to the one to whom they belong. So how do we remember on a daily basis the God who has brought us thus far, the one to whom we belong? Perhaps some of you, at the moment you take your first waking breath, say a prayer of thanks to God. Many of you, I know, read the Upper Room or have a daily devotional practice that keeps you grounded in the love of God at the beginning of the day. Many of you, I hope, say a word of prayer by yourself or with those in your household before you share a meal, as a way of saying, God is the source of our prosperity. God is the source of our food and all that is good. During this season of Lent, I would invite you to explore some daily practices, some physical things, some small things that you can do to remember the Lord our God every day. Perhaps the most well-known, most powerful way that our Jewish brothers and sisters remember and recount the story of God is through the Passover meal. Once a year at Passover, they gather in their homes and they retell the story through the things that are on the table. They talk about the liberation from slavery and the presence of God with them in the wilderness. And now, of course, we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, have a meal that we share. As Methodists, we gather around this table once a month, and we recount and we retell the story. One of the important pieces of this text in Deuteronomy is where Moses says, make sure you teach the children, tell your children the story. And so I want to invite our children who are here this morning to come and join Pastor Becky and me at the table for just a few moments where we can talk about this meal and what happens here. So you can be ready when we have communion in a few moments to be listening extra carefully to the story. You'll have to come all the way around the side, but we'd love for you just to come and gather around the table. You can just stand if you want to. One of the things I love about the Passover meal is there's a moment when one of the children who's present gets to stand up and ask, why is this night different from every other night? And you children are really good at asking questions, really important questions, like, what makes this loaf of bread any different from other loaves of bread that we might eat at home? Or what makes the cup of juice that we have at communion any different from the cup of juice that we might drink at breakfast? When you ask questions like that, it gives us grown-ups a chance to tell you the story. Now, in a few minutes, Mrs. Becky and I are going to tell the whole story. And Pastor Becky's going to talk about some of the different things that God has done for God's people all through history. And then I'm going to talk about what Jesus did at the table that night with his disciples. And I want you to be listening really carefully because it helps us remember. And so when we pick up this piece of bread and tell the story, it becomes something really special because Jesus said it was his body. And we take his body and we become the body of Christ. And we're filled with his love too. So thank you for asking good questions. Keep asking good questions and help us to tell the story of God's love. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for all the things you have done for us from the very beginning, for the way that you love us and show us your love. Most especially, we thank you for Jesus, and we will tell his story and how he gave his life for us. And when we take the bread and drink the juice, help us to remember how much you love us and all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. You can go back and sit with family and friends.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, please fill out a gray card that is located in the pew racks in front of you. And you can mark on that card whether you would like the prayer to be shared or whether it should remain confidential. You may place those cards back in the offering plates as they come down the pews in a few moments. Today we have several births to announce. The first, Roger Ross Prest, was born February 4th to Christopher and Jessica London Prest. He is welcomed also by his grandparents Linda London and Ed Van Voorhees. And then also Max Henry Metter was born February 19th to Blake and Emmeline Davies Metter. He is welcomed also by his grandparents Dina and Reynolds Davies and great-grandparents Betty and Ed Davies. Our sincerest prayers also go to Sunny Braun and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, Richard P. Smith, who died February 21st in Whitney Point, New York. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up our prayers in a time of silence. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Amen. We who have received gifts too numerous to count now have a chance to give in thanks and joy.
Thank you.
them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. When your people forsook your covenant, your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and on your holy mountain he heard your still small voice. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
And blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now, when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, and then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet.
Jesus, Christ, in our lives, in our lives, in our lives.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray together in one voice. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This simple loaf of bread becomes the body of Christ as we remember and give thanks. And the cup becomes the cup of salvation, the blood of Christ that pours into us the gift of life. The table is now set, and all who are present are welcome at this table. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, it's important to us that you know that this is an open table and all are welcome. The way that we receive communion in this place is by coming forward to the aisles. Our friends in the choir will start, and then those in the balcony, followed by those in the transept, and finally the rest in the center of the church. As you come and kneel at the altar rails, if you will have your hands open, that will allow our servers to know you have yet to be served. There is gluten-free bread available. Nancy will be serving that. If you will just let her know that you need that, she'll be right on hand to serve you. Becky and I will also be making our way around the sanctuary, and if you are unable physically to come forward, we will come to where you are. We receive this holy bread and have an opportunity to make a gift to the ministry of our congregation. This month's offering goes to ODEEM, the ministry in Guatemala. We have 11 members of West End who will be going to Guatemala April 14th through 22nd to serve with the indigenous Maya people who are there in a city just outside of Guatemala City. So the plates are placed here and available for you to make a gift to support this wonderful ministry. We invite you now to open your hearts, to remember all that God has done and is doing at this table for all of us. Let us now give thanks for what we have just received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. To leave this place and go out into God's world. May we go and remember that the Lord is our God, that our God is love, and may we share that love with all whom we meet. Go in peace. Amen.